Welcome back to News Talk 580 CFRA. Let's bring on the mayor, Mark Sutcliffe, on Draft Budget Day. Hello, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Christy. It's my pleasure. How are you?
I'm good. I said calling in, but in fact, you're on Zoom.
Yeah, I hope it sounds good.
It sounds like you're in the room. It's perfect.
As a former broadcaster, I'm always very concerned about the sound quality, so I wanted to deliver the best possible audio quality for you today.
We appreciate it. You called this a tight budget today. You stressed affordability. You're keeping your promise to hold the increase to 2.5%, the tax increase. It's a delivery on your campaign pledge, but are we keeping the tax rate artificially lower to the detriment of city services?
No, we're not, Christy. So first of all, I'm very happy that we're able to deliver a budget that does meet that key campaign promise that I made. Of keeping tax increases to 2.5% or less. This will be the lowest tax increase in 5 years for the taxpayers of Ottawa. And I'm very happy about that because residents are facing an affordability crisis. And I've heard about that over and over again throughout the last 6-7 months from the community. People are being hit with higher costs for food and rent and so many other expenses. And so we can't add to that burden with a big tax increase. We're continuing to invest in priority areas. So we're spending more on social services. We're spending more on policing and other emergency services. We're hiring paramedics. We're investing in affordable housing. We're freezing transit fares. We're helping families, the most vulnerable families in our community, with some free recreational programming and some discounted recreational programming. We're spending more on climate change and the environment. So we're still able to invest very strategically in a number of priority areas.
To the efficiencies, you said staff were able to find $54 million in savings and efficiencies. Most of that comes from the transit budget, more than $47 million. Why take from transit? Why target transit at a time when trust of OC Transpo is at an all-time low?
So those efficiencies will not have any impact on the service that people get from OC Transpo. We're retiring some buses that are kind of past their best before date and that we don't need anymore. We're also deferring some other expenditures that we don't necessarily need to make right now because people are not returning to using public transit as quickly as we had forecast before. We're expecting passenger ridership to be about 70% of pre-pandemic levels in 2023. So these are savings that are achieved without having a big impact on residents and passengers. We need to rebuild our public transit system. We need to realign it for a couple of reasons. As you know, people are not traveling the same way that they used to before the pandemic. They're traveling at different times and to different places. And we also need to get ready for stage two of light rail. We're going to see the East End and the South End rolling out over the next couple of years, and we're going to need to realign our routes to serve that important new service for the residents of the East End and the South End. So there's a lot going on with OC Transpo, which will be explained in a lot more detail, but the efficiencies that we've identified will not impact service. And in fact, we're spending more on public transit in 2022 than we did in 2022.
I know you're talking about retiring the old buses, but today you said, and this is a quote, if fewer people are using buses in certain areas, and that's obviously the case if passenger traffic is 70% of where it was before the pandemic, then we will not provide as much service in areas where people no longer are using the buses. We'll provide more services in areas where people are using the bus more often. That is a change to service. That's talking about rolling back service if there are fewer people on the bus or if the bus is empty.
Sure. And that's the kind of thing OC Transpo has been doing for years. When there is less demand in a particular area and it's no longer justified to run service at a certain frequency in a particular area, then they stop or reduce the amount of service in an area and they reinvest that money in another area. So there are always service enhancements and service reductions based on demand from passengers and from the community that are going on all the
right,
time. What
right.
I'm referring to is there isn't an overall reduction in the service that we're providing to residents. We're investing more in public transit going forward, and that's what's important. But of course, if we have a route that runs through a neighborhood and nobody's using it anymore, we'd rather take that money and put it to expand service in another area where there's greater demand.
But if you're a bus user, people are trying to discern, what does this mean? Does this mean the bus that comes every 15 minutes now comes every 30 minutes or every 45 minutes?
Well, it depends which bus you're talking about, obviously. So we are looking at every route in the city, and OC Transpo's always done this. They do a regular review of their routes, and they make sure that they're delivering the best possible service and the most efficient service for transit users. So it's, you know, we're not talking about across the board cuts. We're not talking about major changes. We're talking about realigning the system to customer demands, and also to the fact that, look, if we're going to introduce stage two of light rail in the East End, for example, that's going to have an impact on routes because it's going to replace some routes that are currently coming in from the East End. So there are changes that result from that as well.
I just want to be clear, realignment or shuffling, you know, retuning some of the bus routes, that's different. Are you planning on actually cutting any of the routes outright?
Well, you'd have to talk to OC Transpo about that. That's part of their process, and they're working all the time on improving some routes, increasing frequency of some routes, and decreasing frequency of others. I don't have all the details of what those routes would look like, and that will be that'll all be part of the process when the budget comes before the Transit Commission, and everybody will have lots of time to offer their comments and input on that.
But as the mayor of the city, as somebody who's saying we need to make it more efficient, would you be accepting of that? Would you be on board with that, outright cutting some routes if there weren't as many people on them?
Well, in principle, you know, I don't think that it provides value to Ottawa residents if there's, for example, a bus route that runs through a particular neighborhood and takes people to the train or to the transit way to a rapid bus location. If there's only two people getting on that bus every day, and there's some other place where there's, you know, overflow and there isn't enough room for everyone on the bus, then I think the most effective use of our resources is to reallocate from one to the other. So I'm not talking about any specific routes, but in principle, of course, I would think that most people would understand that we're going to design the system based on the demand, where the needs are in the community.
Okay, just on this, because you understand people are antsy right now. If they don't have the ability to take an Uber or to take a car, they want this information. When will OC Transpo be more forthcoming about what this means for specific routes? When will we have more transparency on what this actually means?
So I think you can check with OC Transpo on that. There, it's all part of their process. This is, again, something that goes on all the time. So it's not necessarily tied to the budget. The budget identified a couple of areas where we're going to save money that have nothing to do with reducing routes. So I want to be very clear about that. You asked me about two things that are in the budget, one of which is about deferring some spending, one of which is about retiring some old buses. Neither of those have to do with deferring, with removing routes or reducing service or anything like that. So I'm, you know, in the context of the budget, there is not a, you know, there's nothing I can share with you about that. OC Transpo on a regular basis reviews all its routes, and I'm sure they will have more to say about that in, you know, in the right time, with lots of time for people to provide their input.
So we're delivering this campaign promise of 2.5%, the cap on the increase, a lower tax increase budget right now. But as you stressed many times today in your remarks, we need support from other levels of government in the future. Is it responsible for our city's budget to hang on that? Are we kicking the can down the road? What if they don't come to the table with that?
We don't have any choice, Christy. And, you know, I'll tell you one of the things that I've learned in the 2 months that I've been the mayor of Ottawa is that you spend a lot of time talking to the federal and provincial governments about funding. And that's just the reality of being a municipality in Canada. We don't get to decide many of the things that other levels of government do. We can't introduce a new sales tax or other measures to generate revenue without the permission of the provincial government. So in a lot of cases, we're going to the federal government and the provincial government and asking for their help to build more housing, to invest in public transit, and to do other things. And so we're going to continue to do that. We're going to fight for Ottawa's share of all of the federal programs and provincial programs that are available. We're going to continue to talk to the provincial government about providing funding, as they promised to do, to offset the impact of Bill 23. We're going to talk to them about transit funding. The federal government has promised more sustainable transit funding starting in 2026, but we've got to get from here to 2026, and we're going to need support to do that. So if we don't get that support, the traditional support that we've always gotten from other levels of government going forward, if we don't get the kind of support we need to cover some of the shortfalls, then we'll have to make major cuts to programs and services. And we don't want to do that. But we do need a reliable stream of funding from the other two levels of government.
Do you think we're actually going to get that?
I'm confident based on the conversations I've been having. There's no guarantees, but I think the federal government and the provincial government understand our needs, and we're continuing those conversations. And I'm fortunate to have a good relationship with both the Justin Trudeau government and the Doug Ford government, and I think that will serve the city well.
When you say we could be looking at significant cuts because of these budgetary pressures in 2024 and beyond, what does that look like?
Well, it depends on what kind of funding we get from the federal government and from the provincial government. So all of it depends on what levels of support we will get going forward. And we'll have lots of time to prepare for the 2024 budget and lots of time to discuss all of that. But it is important that people realize that we do rely on the federal government and the provincial government for a portion of our budget. And if we're going to continue to deliver public transit, if we're going to build more affordable homes in the future, we're going to need support from those other levels of government.
You know, your previous mayor of Ottawa, Mayor Jim Watson, and his tax cap promise, that was also scrutinized. People said, this is already low. It's not that people want to pay more money for taxes, but they felt that we were keeping it low for a very long time. And this is lower than that. If this draft budget is ultimately adopted, this is the lowest property tax increase Ottawa has seen since 2018. So I want you to speak directly to the critics of that who feel that this is not the right decision.
I would say look at all the areas where we're investing money. We are spending more. And I know there are already people who are portraying this as a budget that's cutting services, which is completely inaccurate. We are investing in services. We're spending more on social services. We're investing $4 million to fund community agencies to support people, disadvantaged people in downtown Ottawa, in the Byward Market, to prevent gender-based violence against women and girls, to improve access to mental health programs, to support racialized youth. There are lots of areas where we are spending more money. We're hiring paramedics because we want to have fewer level zero days going forward. We're investing in affordable housing. There are lots of areas where we're investing. We're fortunate this year that because the city has grown a lot in the last year, we have some additional revenues based on that. And that has made this budget less stressful than it might otherwise have been. So we have an extra $90 to $100 million that we can invest in some key areas, and we're doing that. And we're going to find efficiencies and savings going forward. We'll conduct an exhaustive process to do that. And I'm optimistic that that process will yield more money, not so we can cut taxes or cut spending, but so we can reinvest that money in those priority areas that we have identified as a city council.
On e-buses, some of your colleagues felt that we're rushing this, that we need more time. Councillor Clark Kelly, Wilson Lowe. Councillor Lowe was worried the technology might not be as good as we think it is. And what happens if we take this on? This is a lot of money that we're spending. Why don't we wait a little bit longer before proceeding? Your reaction to that?
I respect all the opinions that were shared at council today, and I understand where everybody's coming from. This is a limited time offer from the federal government to give us $350 million towards the purchase of these electric buses. That doesn't come along every day that we get an offer like that. So we need to move quickly on this. But it is the continuation of a process that started before the last municipal election in October of last year. The previous city council approved this. They approved the pilot project. They studied it. They looked at it. And so I realized that for some new members of council, they weren't part of that process. And so now they're offering some additional scrutiny, and I respect that. But it is the continuation of a process that was well underway before this term of council began. And so we were relying on the experts at the city, the outside experts that we've consulted with, the work that's been done in other communities. We're hardly the first city in Canada to be buying electric buses.
But do you personally believe that the battery in our climate, because we have a pretty harsh winter climate, look at how cold it is out today, that this is going to work for the city of Ottawa?
That's the advice that we've been given, and we have to rely on the experts when we make these kinds of decisions.
Thank you, Mayor, for the time. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Christy.
Mayor Mark Sutcliffe joining us.